Well, good evening. This passage tonight, is, as I've just been looking at it, has really just become one of my favourite passages in the New Testament. It pretty much just gives a sum up of what the Christian life is all about. And if you've been with us for the past few months, you've been noticing that something big in John's Gospel has been, you know, Jesus has been doing these miracles and saying these things about who he is, that he's God, and just asking this question of, do you believe in me? And we've been kind of looking at that week after week, but tonight we kind of take a step aside from that main theme, and we just look at something about where Mary does something really radical for Jesus, and we're just going to look at how that's a picture of the Christian life. So we're going to look at Mary showing her love to Jesus by pouring this really expensive ointment onto her feet. So I'll look at it in 3 points tonight. The first is we need to love. Okay, the second is how Mary loved Jesus, and the third is how we can love Jesus. So first is we need to love, second is how Mary loved Jesus, and the third is how we can love Jesus. So number one, we need to love. A major contributor to our happiness is showing love to people. It's not just about being loved by people. You know, us, you and me, we need to show love to the people we love. Showing love in the right context brings meaning and richness and satisfaction into our lives. And it might seem a bit weird to hear it put that way, but we all experience this. Think of the most satisfying relationship in your life, or think of the most satisfying relationship that you've ever had in your life. I mean, what makes it so satisfying? Easy, simple question, the fact that you love each other. Okay, you love them and they love you. That's what makes it so satisfying. That's what makes it so rich. And it's not about, you know, you don't have two people kind of loving themselves, thinking about themselves. That doesn't make a really happy, satisfying relationship. When each individual is loving the other person, that's what makes it really rich and meaningful and satisfying. Or let me ask you this, think about this relationship, this satisfying relationship. What kind of things do you do for that person? What kind of things do you do to show that person love? You might, you know, cook meals or do laundry, you might serve them, you might work a job to provide a house and put food on the table. You might be a word person, you like to say things like, I love you, I miss you, I want to be with you. You might be a physical person, so you like to give hugs and hold hands and a bit of a pat on the back, or whatever it is. Now think about those ways that you really like to show love to these people. Could you imagine not doing those things? Could you imagine loving a person but actually not showing it in any way, shape or form? There's no way that you could have a happy and satisfying relationship without actually showing this person how much you love them. We need to show people how much we love them. I remember back when I was a kid, I'm a giver, so I like to give gifts to people and show them love that way. And I had, maybe when I was 12, 13, all the money I had was maybe 12, 15 bucks. And I just wanted to show, at times, you know, a brother, but mostly mum and dad, because I had a good relationship with them, I suppose, my brothers. But I tried to show my mum and dad just how much I love them. And especially when it came to, you know, Mother's Day, Father's Day, birthdays or things, I'd go out and I'd spend my $10, $15 on something useless that they didn't need and that they'd never use, but I thought it was a killer present because I would love to have it. So I'd spend all my money on like a foot spa or like a car buffer, you know, that they're like, yeah, thanks, yeah, that's great, and kind of just put it into the top cupboard. You know, they use it one day and that's it, there it goes. But I thought it was a fantastic thing to do, you know, and it made me so happy to just be able to give what I had to my parents and just go, hey, this is how much I love you, I just want to buy something for you. You know, as a kid, it's just a real joy. And you look at the kids at church, kids love to show love. You know, you see them kind of run around and they run up to their parents and they grab their legs and they're just, you know, like they just really want to, they're just happy to be able to show their parents love. It's just something that they kind of have to do. And even when some of the kids at church, you'll see them sitting with the young adults or sitting with married couples away from their parents during church. And then they just, you see them kind of cuddling up to their arms and they don't say much, but what they're trying to say is, I love you, I want to be with you, I just really enjoy doing this, and they just have to show it, you know? Kids just love to love. And as adults, it doesn't really change. You know, we show love in different ways. We love to have people over, clean the house, cook meals, just to show people that we love them, we care about them. We give gifts, we say words, really nice things. Maybe it's quality time. Maybe you're someone that just wants to, don't say much, but don't give much, but you just want to give your time to them, just be with them. You know, as adults, we just really enjoy showing love to people. And when we really do love someone, it's only satisfying when we're able to show it. That's what makes a really quality relationship. And we see in our passage tonight that this is what Mary does to Jesus. She does something really radical to show Jesus just how much she loves him. So point two, how Mary loved Jesus. So we'll look at our passage and we'll see exactly what happens. So I'll just read it again. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" I'll just stop there. 300 denarii doesn't make sense to us. But back then, that was about a year's wage for a standard labourer. So to put that in Brisbane terms, that's, you're looking at about 30 grand, 35 grand. So this bottle of ointment is worth about $30,000. Okay, so it's incredibly expensive. It's probably all she had, the most expensive thing she had. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always." So what's going on here is that Jesus has come into town. He's come into Bethany, and Mary, Martha and Lazarus, their family, brothers and sisters, they've invited him over to dinner at their house, probably just to say thanks for raising Lazarus from the dead. And we see that Martha's, you know, cooking and serving as she usually does. We see that Lazarus is just sitting next to Jesus, just spending time with him. And it's just a, you know, a casual get together, just same old, same old. And then Mary does something really radical. She's got this bottle of you know, beautiful fragrant oil that we've seen is worth about 30 grand. It's probably all she had. And she comes into the room. She doesn't say anything, but she walks into the room and she kneels down at Jesus' feet and she just starts to pour this expensive oil just right over Jesus' feet. It wasn't just, you know, a couple of drops. It was, she just poured the whole thing out over Jesus' feet until the whole room was just filled with this fragrance of this really expensive oil. And then she hops on the ground. Sorry, she's already on the ground. But then she undoes her hair. So back in those days, women used to have their hair in a bun because only the husbands were to see them with their hair out when they were married. So it was a big no-no to undo your hair bun in public. So men just never saw you with your hair down. But she just completely puts off all these rules that the culture has and just goes, nah, lets her hair out and then just wipes the excess off Jesus' feet. So what is Mary doing here? I mean, why did John record this? What's so special? I mean, what's the picture that you get when you see a woman kneeling down at someone's feet and just pulling her whole life onto Jesus' feet? What's the picture that you get there? What Mary is saying is that this is how much I love you. This is how much I love you. I'm giving you everything I have. This 30 grand ointment, it's all I've got. It's the most expensive thing I have. And this is how much I love you, that I'm just going to pour it out on your feet. I'm not going to do a couple of drops. The whole thing goes onto Jesus' feet. It's just a picture of how much Mary loved Jesus. It's a crazy love. It's a radical love. It's a sacrificial love. I mean, when was the last time, you know, that you gave everything you had to someone as a gift of love? as an adult, I might have did that as a kid with $10, but as an adult, I've never given everything I've got to someone just to show them how much I love them. That's just, it's radical. You don't do this. So why? I mean, why would Mary do this? Why would she pour everything she's got onto Jesus' feet? Must have had a pretty good reason to want to do that. First of all, we know that it wasn't to get something back from Jesus. It wasn't to get Jesus to answer her prayers. It wasn't to get Jesus to make her happy, to make her rich. It wasn't as a kind of sucking up to Jesus and hope that Jesus would let her into heaven. It wasn't, I try to, you know, to do a good thing so that you would forgive me. It's nothing like that. She doesn't do this to get something back from Jesus. And we see that at the end of the passage, Jesus doesn't say anything like that. He doesn't give anything to her. All he says is, yep, good work. It's a good thing to do. That's it. Jesus doesn't say, because you're so devoted, you're going to get into heaven. Because you're so devoted, I'm going to make you rich and happy. He doesn't say anything. Mary doesn't get anything from this. Jesus just said, yeah, it's a good thing to do. That's it. You know, and sometimes we do things for God to try to get things, right? You know, sometimes we pray, we think, if I pray, I'll pass my exam. You know, if I pray today, God will help me to have a good day. If I wake up and read my Bible, I think today will go well, you know? If I go to church, maybe that means I can get to go into heaven. If I just try to do, if I worship, if I try to, you know, do five prayers a day or Hail Marys or whatever it is, we think that, look, we can do these things just to get God to try to bless us. But this wasn't Mary. I mean, Jesus never asked her to do this. Jesus didn't tell her to do this. Didn't even do anything for Mary after it. Mary did this because of what Jesus had already done for her. And this is big. She did this just as an act of love and gratefulness because of what Jesus had done for her by raising her brother, Lazarus, back from the dead. As you saw a couple of weeks ago, this is what Jesus did. Jesus, after 4 days, raised Lazarus back from the dead, and then he pretty much gave Lazarus back to her family. I mean, imagine if a person who you love so much, imagine if just a best friend or a father or a son or a sister passed away in hospital and the doctor said, look, there's nothing that we can do. You know, pulse has stopped. It's all over. They put the shit over the body, whatever they do. And then imagine if 4 days later, at the funeral, one of your friends come up and they just command your loved one to come up out of the coffin, and then they just come up out of the coffin miraculously and just come back to life in full health. I mean, imagine if that happened. I mean, how grateful would you be to your friend for doing that? I mean, sure, you'd be pretty freaked out and you'd be thinking, what is going on? I do not understand this. But at the same time, you would think, wow, I've got this person back. You've given me this person back. And your attitude would just be thanks and love and gratefulness, and you'd just be wanting to show that to that friend. And that was Mary here. I mean, Jesus loves her family, and Jesus gave Lazarus back to her, and she was just so thankful for what Jesus had done for her that she just showed it, and she just poured out everything she had over Jesus' feet. So what about us then? I mean, why are we even looking at this passage about what Mary did? You see, this love that Mary has for God is a picture of the Christian life. It's a picture of what the Christian life is all about, which is about loving God because he has first loved you. It's about loving God because what he has already done for you. So point three, how can we show Jesus' love? You know, Mary, she had a really good reason to pour out 30 grand worth of oil on Jesus' feet. I mean, Jesus gave her brother back to her. But Jesus has done so much more for you and for me than he ever did for Mary that day. The Bible talks about how we've broken God's laws, we've rejected him at times, we've rejected his authority, over us, and the punishment for that is death and distance from him in hell for all of eternity. Yet Jesus came and he died in our place. He took the punishment for us that we deserve. And we see this recorded for us in John 1 John 4, verse 9 and 10. I'll just get Mick to bring it up. So we have, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So saying that Jesus came to life, came to earth, he lived a perfect life, he died a horrible death. And this word propitiation means that Jesus was executed on the cross, and God the Father punished Jesus instead of you and for me for all the wrong things that we've done in our life, in our lives. God's wrath and anger that was directed at you and me for the way that we have rejected God was directed at Jesus on the cross. God's wrath and anger for how we've broken God's laws every day wasn't directed towards us, it was directed towards Jesus on the cross. And Jesus was willing to take that for us. It's just a radical thing for Jesus to do. I remember back when I was a kid, I used to play a lot of cricket in the backyard, and there was a fair lot of glass that got reassembled on the ground, which was mostly my fault. And I just thought about this, and I'm thinking, imagine if you're playing a game of cricket in the backyard and your friend, you know, bowls a cricket ball to you, and you just get a bit excited and you just chunk it straight into a window and you smash it. You don't have the money to pay for this window. Imagine if your parents came out and they were angry and they said, you know, who did this? Who smashed this window? You're going to have to pay for this. And your friend, just out of the blue, just puts his hand up and goes, look, I'm really sorry. I'll pay for it. I'll take care of it. I mean, what? You know, we don't do those things. I mean, I'm the one who broke the window. It was my fault. And yet my friend just puts up his hand and just says, look, I'm sorry. I'll pay for it. And that's what Jesus has done for us. We've broken windows, whether we've meant to or not. And Jesus says, look, I'll pay the penalty. Let me take it. I'll put this right. I mean, Jesus has done so much for us. Just think of what Scripture says about what Jesus has done for you personally. Because of what Jesus did for you, you get completely forgiven and you get a completely clean slate. Because of what Jesus has done for you, instead of being God's enemy, you get to call God your Father and have an intimate relationship with him. Because of what Jesus has done for you and for me, instead of getting our just punishment in hell, we get joy and peace and safety in heaven for all of eternity. Jesus has done so much more for you and me than Jesus ever did for Mary. So the question is, well, if Jesus has given his life for us, if he has done infinitely more for us than what he did for Mary, then what should our response be to him? You see, what happens here in the story with Mary is just a picture of our lives. She's an example of what happens to a human being when they understand God's love for them. She didn't do what she did for blessing or for benefits or to get anything from Jesus. She just did it as just a thankful, loving response of, wow, this is what you've done for me. Can I just show you how much I love you? Can I just pour out my life, Jesus, in devotion? I mean, we don't go to church or pray or read our Bibles or worship to try to get things from God. We read our Bibles and we pray and we worship just because of what Jesus has done for us, and we just want to show him just some of the love that he has shown for us. We don't get into heaven by what we do for God. Because of what Jesus has done, we get into heaven, full stop. So from now on, it's just showing God how thankful we are, showing God how much we love him. So what's the challenge for us tonight then? Just to finish off, what's the challenge? What do we do? The first challenge, it isn't to start to do crazy things. It isn't to start to get everything you have and just pour it out. That isn't the first challenge, really. The first challenge is to really try and understand what God has done for you. The first challenge is to really try and understand the depth of love that Christ has shown you on the cross and really what he has done for you. Because you see, the more that you understand how much God loves you, the more you understand of what God has done for you on the cross, the only logical response to that is love. The only logical response to that is, well, if that's how much you love me, God, then I want to show you how much I love you. And when we look before, a satisfying relationship isn't thinking about yourself, but it's trying to show the other person how much you love them. And that's what the Christian life is about, understanding more and more of what God has done for me, and then just responding in this radical, sacrificial love. So should we love radically and sacrificially like Mary? Absolutely. Absolutely. But real love comes from a heart that has already been loved by God like Mary's. So we see that we need to love. It makes relationships satisfying and full and rich. We see that Mary gave all she had to Jesus because Jesus gave Lazarus back to her. And we see that the Christian life is all about giving all we have back to God, not to get blessing, but because of what God has already done for us. So I'll just leave it there.